Well, I believe that God wants us to go on a trip now into a different series, The Fear of the Lord. I am so convinced over this last week, and thank you, Rich, for your prayers and for other people for my prayer. I had this whole other thing I was going to go into, a different series on paying the price, because I could talk on that till I'm blue in the face. And that's what you look for, right? You look for things that you know you can find a lot of material on. And you know, honestly, when God said, He gave me a couple of scriptures on the fear of the Lord, and He says, this is the next step, the fear of the Lord. And I'm like, I don't know anything about the fear of the Lord. And He says, well, glory to God. There you go. Gives you something to step into. The fear of the Lord. And I'm telling you, people, and I will show you, we have many, many scriptures to go down this trail on the fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord is revival. And when you see real revival breaking out in the church, in the streets, everywhere, the fear of the Lord comes with it. This is part of what happens. The Bible says the fear of the Lord fell on them and multitudes were saved. Right? When you have large bodies of people, it's because the fear of the Lord fell. We're not leaving our wonderful topics of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We're not leaving the wonderful topic of the living blood of God. These things are so vital and they're so important. We will be talking about them more and more. And we will keep them in front of us. And we'll sing songs about them. And we'll respect the blood of Jesus. And we'll invite the Holy Ghost in. But the fear of the Lord is going to come upon you. And when we think about the fear of the Lord, we're not talking about being afraid. And this is, you know, and we're not talking just about being reverent. These were the two things I found everybody else was saying. Well, it doesn't mean you're being afraid of God, you know. And we understand that. He's your Father and you need to go to Him and stuff. But they also say it means you need to be reverent. And I'm saying that is just not powerful enough as to what happens, okay, when the fear of the Lord comes upon you. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came on Jesus and made Him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. One of the things He did to Jesus when He came on Him, He made Him fear the Lord. This is a huge topic, okay, and we're going to get into it until we understand ourselves, this fear of the Lord. And when we have the appropriate fear of the Lord and nothing else, and we'll see that too as we get into this, we'll see how what the fear of the Lord becomes much greater than the fear of anything else, which is why you obey Him. By faith, Noah, fearing what God had just said to him, started building the ark. People think he did it by faith. Yes, he did do it by faith. The Bible said he did it out of fear of God. This judgment that was coming on the earth. He was afraid. Fear. And look up the word. Go ahead, look it up. It means terror. Talk about terrorists. We got the biggest terrorist of all. God the Holy Ghost is going to come on this air and just terrify people. They either are going to get out or get in. That's revival. The fear of the Lord coming in and settling on who first? Who's it always happened with first? Judgment begins where? In the house of the Lord. And if we're not afraid of God and we're flippant and we live our lives casually because, you know, well, it's God and Sunday and blah, blah, and I know this and I know that, and you're not getting it. The fear of the Lord needs to increase. And He's going to increase on you. He's going to increase on me. He's going to increase on this body. And He's going to increase in this area. I remember going into certain meetings and I knew that if I wasn't living right, I didn't want to go there. Because I was scared that whoever was preaching, Ed Dufresne, I don't know if you know him, he'd pick up on stuff. He'll come right up to your chair and he'll repent, you know, or he'll tag you, you know, and you're like, I've seen him do it. Come on, call somebody. He said, you're living in adultery and you need to repent. And you're like, it wasn't me. But, you know, that's fearing God, to a degree. We'll get into this. And I'm gonna build this as much as possible in the Word, so it's not just coming from me. You don't want to hear that. You want it coming from the Word and from the Spirit of God. So once again, I'm gonna ask you, just like you've been doing, continue to pray and believe, because this is a spirit of fear. It comes from God. The Bible says it will settle on you. It will come on you. It'll come on all of us together, and we will have greater manifestations. The level of power you're able to walk in is totally dependent on the amount of fear of God you have. Power's power. It's powerful, right? There's a two-edged sword. Two edges means it cuts both ways. And if you're not living right and you're in the power of God, you're in trouble. Exactly. This is why we have preacher after preacher after preacher. They get the power of God coming, and all of a sudden they come back, you know, they rise up into fame in ministry, and they start doing something wrong, and you don't hear about them for very much longer, do you? Something happens to them. It's that two-edged sword. Fearful. To be afraid, right? Because you're dealing with God Almighty. The Bible says He's a consuming fire. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God's a confused. That doesn't even go together with consuming fire. What are you scared of, God? Jesus said, don't be afraid of men. Don't be afraid of men, even though they can kill your body. Whoopity-ding-dong. Be afraid of Him who, after your body's dead, can cast you into hell. Fear Him. Jesus said that. Fear God. Well, I'm not afraid of God. Well, then, you're stupid. Okay? God is big. God is powerful. He created the universe, and you're not afraid of Him? Well, who are you? Little ball of dust walking around. Blowing smoke in God's face. Don't stand next to that person. This is something we need to realize, okay? As revival begins to break out, as the Holy Ghost begins to manifest, and we're calling Him. Remember we talked about the blood? It's like a magnet to the Holy Ghost. You start lifting up the blood of Jesus and pleading the blood of Jesus. He comes. He comes. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Walk in fear. Walk in trepidation is another word. I was looking up, ask Olivia, I had the dictionary open up last night. I was looking up through all these, what does this word fear mean? It means to walk with intrepidation. If you are walking on a 2x4 on the ground, no big deal, right? Lift it up about a foot, still no big deal. We'd be a little more uneasy. We'd like to hold on to something. Put it 300 feet up in the air, and most of us aren't going to do it. Why? Fear. Fear of what? Fear of falling and dying, right? Or breaking something that you might want to use later. Fear of God. And so as we increase in power, this is why the fear and the power go right together. As you increase in power, as the power increases, we need to walk more carefully, walk more circumspect, walk with more intrepidation, walk with more terror of the Lord, okay? And as you do, God will keep increasing you. He'll keep raising that 2x4 up until you're out of the stratosphere. Out of the stratosphere. Well, let's get into this. What do you think? Hallelujah. Romans 11:22. And this is the verse that I'm going to kind of launch off of. This is the verse that God spoke to me. And, you know, when He gives you these aren't the type of verses that are on the tip of your tongue that you're just pulling out to people. So when He says a verse like this, you're like, okay, there must be something there, right? If He names some random verse back in Ezekiel or something, you're thinking, what? I got to look that up. And you look it up and you go, oh, wow. Well, this is one of those type of verses here. Romans, glory be to God forever. And I believe we're ready for this. This is not the time, and I'm sorry, this message is not one of those feel-good, lovey messages, okay? But it's what we need and what we're ready for. We're ready for the next step. And I believe it. And we're going to pull and believe that we can have this next step in the level. We're climbing up, glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 11. Okay, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I respect Your word. I thank You for Your word. I fear Your word. And we fear Your Holy Spirit. We reverence Your Holy Spirit. And we don't take these things lightly. Holy Ghost, I'm asking You right now, open up people's ears and their spirits. And open up my mouth. Help me to speak correctly the things You want. God, direct me and guide me and help me in Jesus' name. I ask for it. I believe I receive it. And I ask that we know the spirit of fear, how we can walk before you in power. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Oh, yeah. I hope you're ready. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. Let's go to verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Take heed lest he also spare not thee. Take heed. Well, I thought it was once saved, always saved, brother. I can just go up and give my life to Jesus, and then I can do whatever I want. When I die, I go to heaven. Once saved, always saved. I hope so, for your sake. But the Bible here is saying to take heed lest you be cut off. You don't want to be cut off. That doesn't sound good. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. If God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. Ouch! Why did he have to put that in there? That's to shape you up, my friend. So you're not being all lackadaisical. This is not going to be a lackadaisical message, okay? I'm going to try to tighten up your bootstraps. You know what that means? You tighten up your bootstraps because you know you're going to have to run through some stuff. You don't want to be doing it with sloppy boots on. They might fall off or get stuck in the mud, right? We're learning how to tighten up things in this church so we can run. Gird up the loins of your mind. What did they do when they gird up the loins? They didn't have loins in their mind, did they? He's talking figuratively that if you wanted to run and you were wearing a long skirt, I guess I've never done this, but if you were wearing a long skirt, you'd want to tie it up, right? So you could run. Right? You got a long skirt on, you better gird it up with the girdle. Or something, all right? But the point is, we're tightening things up. He said, God, why is it getting tight in here? Why are you putting so much pressure on me to walk such a straight and narrow road? Because that's the path, my friend. It's a straight and narrow path. Straight and narrow. Not wide and turny, whichever way you want. Comfort cruise. Do whatever you want. Drive anywhere you want. And all roads lead to heaven when you die. Straight and narrow. What do you want? You want the power of God? I want the power of God. I want this church to have the power of God. The scary electric power of God. To be here just electrifying the seats so people come in, they get healed. Right? This is the gospel. People getting healed just because they show up. Peter's shadow, like Maynard was talking about. Peter was walking the straight and narrow to have that type of power around him. And we'll see, we'll go to that eventually, that this is because of the fear of the Lord. They all feared the Lord. Why? Because he's so big and powerful. I'll share the story right now. I was a young man. I don't know how young, I don't really remember exactly how old I was. I was still living at home with my parents, so I was probably 14, something like that. All right? We went to Niagara Falls. Anybody heard of Niagara Falls? Large falls in the United States. And we went over to the Canadian side, and on the Canadian side, you can stand right, there's a fence that comes up right next to the river that literally goes over the falls within 5 feet of where you're standing. And this water, you know, you think about, yeah, falls, you know, the water's trickling and, you know, running down a stream and then topples over so nice and lightly. No, this water was just moving. Such force and such gravity to it, it almost felt like it was going to suck you into it. And it would just tear over the edge and go down. And this, you know, the loud, the sound was immense. It was terrifying. And it went to the point where you thought that if you just stuck one toe in the water there, it would suck you and pull you over. And that, and what would the result of that be? Do you think you could withstand such a fall and swim through it? I'm a pretty good swimmer. Oh, I could handle that. No, you knew it was so far beyond your capacities to survive such a powerful thing. It was frightening. Want to scare your kids? Put them up next to the fence. Say, you obey me, I'm going to make you put your hand in that water. No. It was frightening. Do you understand? Why was I scared? Was I in any danger? No, but I was scared of that water. I still am today when I think about it. Did you get that? So there's a fear there. What are we afraid of? We're afraid of the immensity and the power of God. And then we've got multitudes of scriptures here that say, keep it straight. Remember, we talked about the blood of Jesus, and we've been talking about applying the blood. What did the priest do? Did he just walk in through there into the Holy of Holies, rip open the door, eating a sub sandwich? I don't think so. Matter of fact, they tied a rope around his leg to make sure that, you know, if he didn't make it, if the power of God that was between, you know, the seraphim there, if the power of God's slayed him because he had sin in his life somehow, they'd be able to pull him out. You think he was scared? What was he scared of? He was scared of himself having to be right on. This is the fear factor for us. Are we going to walk the right way to have God's power in manifestation? When he begins manifesting, and he will, then that should make you even more afraid to live even more cleanly, more holily. Yeah, at least you understood what I said. I wonder if I'm speaking English sometimes when I'm up here. Glory be to God. Okay, Romans 11:22. Are you getting some of this? I think you are. You guys are like sponges today. Oh, yay. Behold thou, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. What does behold mean? Behold means to look at, observe with a continuous gaze. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. How many, we've heard this, behold the goodness of God, behold the goodness of God, you know, and most churches, you know, they're very light and fluffy, and they, you know, and Jesus loves you. He does love you, right? And that's good. That's the goodness of God. Behold, we're command, this is a command, behold the goodness and the severity of God. With the goodness comes the severity. In fact, you can't commit the unpardonable sin unless you behold so much goodness, right? You have to come to a certain level of understanding the goodness of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit, the powers of the world to come. And then you have to go, ah, that's not for me, and turn away to even commit the unpardonable sin. So as the goodness increases, so does what? The severity. Hee-haw. And that's all good, because we don't want to live shabby lives, do we? We don't want to live the crooked way anymore. There's too much goodness to be had, but with the goodness comes severity. Right? Hallelujah. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. Let's go to the next here. Hebrews 2. Yes, hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest At any time, we should let them slip. And I'm going to give an encouragement to you here. We've come a really long way in this body. You know, whether there's a lot of people here or not, but as a body of believers, we've come a really long way. We've come to know the Holy Spirit as a person. Okay? We've come to talk and know about the gifts of the Spirit and experience many of them, and we're believing God for all of them. Can you do that? Absolutely. Well, we are. If we can't, you better show me how we're not supposed to. But I'm believing for all the gifts of the Spirit to be in regular manifestation here. Amen. And that's power. Okay? And then we talked about the blood of Jesus, because I believe that's the way that the Holy Ghost comes in. It's through the blood and through the rite of the blood, and the life of the flesh is in the blood. And we've come and we've learned these things. All right? And if you haven't heard all the series, please go. The tapes in the back, they're free. Glory to God. You have no excuse except for time. Listen to it. Feed on it. Get it into you. Why? Because therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. To whom much is given, much is required. What does required mean? You're responsible for it now. Maynard's responsible. Somebody comes in his door, he better pray for him. To get healed, right? You're responsible. You put yourself out there to be in the healing ministry. In whatever way that God leads you to do it. But the point is, you become responsible for the things that you've heard and the things that are... You better be pleading the blood of Jesus. You better be worshiping the Holy Ghost. You better be doing these things. Take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we let them slip. Why? Because we're going into the next step here, and it's the fear of the Lord. Get ready to be scared. Yay! Fear thou much. Hallelujah. Lest at any time we should let them slip, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? This salvation of ours is like a torrent. Rich. It's like a torrent going over Niagara Falls. This salvation is huge. It is not minimal. It is not, oh, God saved your soul and he will help you to get by when you get to, and then you die and go to heaven. This is salvation. It's huge. It contains all of the glory of God, and it's all for you, and we're required to walk in it. Complete healing. And you're supposed to be laying hands on the sick and having them recover. The wealth that's available to you in the blood of Jesus is huge. It's like a torrent going over Niagara Falls. It's a scary thing. And people don't think about, oh, the goodness of God. Yeah, the goodness of God. No, the goodness of God is scary. Everything about God is terrifying. We don't think so because we've made a religious ridiculousness out of it. Robes and crosses and holy water and all this other stuff. Nothing wrong with robes and crosses and holy water. But we've made something, a form of godliness with no power. And when the power is there, it becomes terrifying. Do you understand? What causes you to be healed? It's the power of God, Rich. When you walk in divine healing, it's power that keeps you healed, gets you healed, and keeps you healed. When you walk in divine wealth, it's God's power doing it. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Because it's His power working in your life. Don't snub it. Don't get out from under that covering. Right? We walk before a terrible God. He is a consuming fire. Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. God said, come up on the mountain. He said, yeah. You sure? In fact, the children of Israel are supposed to go up with him, and they said, we'll just stay back here. You go. I think we've made our God too small. You understand? We put God in a pillbox and tried to hand him to people on little tracks. All you need to do is confess your sin. Lest God slay you! It should say, you know, we've made too light of this glorious, holy, powerful, living God who's going to begin manifesting himself among us. And if we really want that, this is what it comes down to. Is this what we really want? I know we do, but is it what we need to do is, are we going to pay the price? Are we going to stay and live the lifestyle that this will require? Obed-Edom, when the cart came into his place, he put it in his house. And it blessed all that he had, but you know, he didn't play with it. He didn't put the TV on top of the Ark of the Covenant. He made room for it. Nobody touched it because he knew what it was, and it began to bless him. Then one of King David's men came up and just touched it wrong. Just touched it wrong, and it killed him. The goodness and the severity of God. Goodness and severity. Goodness was everybody was blessed. Plagues left. Poverty left. Prosperity came. The goodness. Yay, the goodness. But the severity of God was there too. So let's be aware as we're walking in more goodness, right? That the severity of God is that much closer. And this is the price we pay. You're climbing up a ladder. It's okay on the first three steps, right? You can wave to your neighbors. You can say, hey, look at me. I'm climbing up the ladder. Got my bucket of paint. Then you get three or four more steps up there and you're thinking, well, I better not wiggle around here too much or I might spill this paint. So you start holding on with both hands. Then you get up to the fourth story on this ladder, if you could possibly make it that far, because most of us would be like, I'm not going up any higher. And we can't move because we're terrified because you're so high up and you're white knuckling it. Why? It's the same ladder. The severity has increased with the goodness. You see that? The severity increases with the goodness. You want to walk in wealth? Guess what? Severity comes along with it. You're responsible for it. Start messing around with it. You're in trouble. And I'm not sitting next to you anymore. Why? Because of the severity of God. All right. Shoo. Well, this isn't a very feel-good message. I know. Yay! But it feels good anyway, doesn't it? Hallelujah. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That word so, he could have just said salvation. He could have said, if we neglect salvation, so great, so extreme. This is extreme salvation. How many people are neglecting the greatness of salvation? Aren't they? They take a little bit. Thank you. See you later. That's it. Oh, it's really big and it's really great and it's really scary. And he says, how are you going to escape? A way to put this in your understanding is there's a verse in Deuteronomy. I should look this up. I forget where it is. Yeah, I think it's Deuteronomy 28. It talks about the curse came on them because they didn't serve God for the fullness of all that he had. And if you can understand, God has fullness for you. God has this great full plan for your life. It includes blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And power and ministry and anointing and prosperity and healing and all these wonderful things and redemption for your family. If you don't serve him for all of it, what's of necessity going to happen? You're going to have less of it. He says the curse comes on you because you're not serving him for the abundance. Serve him for the abundance, lest the curse come on you. If you're full of abundant blessing, then the curse can't get in, can it? Once again, goodness and severity. All right. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Hallelujah. Hebrews, flip over a couple chapters. Hebrews chapter 12, 12 through 15. I really, my job here, I feel this morning, is to lay the foundation of this fear. And we're going to believe God that we can understand and see correctly the fear of the Lord. Because He's a spirit. I'll show you that later. He comes with this fear, the Holy Ghost. It's like a terror. I like that word better. I wish we hadn't, you know, over-dramatized it with terrorists and terrorism. Because there's a good part of terror, and terror is a more accurate description of that word. I'm terrified. Paul said, I'm with you in weakness and in trembling and in much fear. Much fear. Why? Because of the power of God, not because of them. We're not supposed to fear men, and he even says that. So it wasn't about, oh, I'm afraid of having to speak in public or something. It was because he was in the power of God. And he's already been knocked off his high horse by that. He'd rather be stoned and beat with whips and, you know, bars than upset the power of God. Do you understand? We're supposed to fear God that much that we would rather stand up in front of an angry mob. Because they're nothing compared to this God that you serve. And you don't want to upset Him. You see that? Are we there? No. Are we going to get there? I'm believing for it. That we want to obey God to the T because of His power that's on our life. And we don't care what anybody else thinks. Because this power is more severe than people. And anything they can do. Glory. All right. Where were we reading here? Hebrews 12. Oh, I'm excited about this. Hallelujah. Every time I get another step, it just makes me laugh on the inside because I don't make this stuff up. Oh, you're good at making that stuff up. No, I'm really not good at making it up. Okay? But it's when we get another step, we know that we're doing what's right and God gives you another step. Amen. And right now He's telling us, be afraid. Be fearful because what you're entering into. How many of you know we are going to enter into this revival? We've committed to enter this revival and step into the cloud. We've committed to this. This is the next step. Be afraid. Fear the Lord. Reverence Him to the extreme. Reverence is okay, but put some other word with it. Reverence to the extreme. Extreme rev. Because reverence isn't enough. Oh, yes, we reverence. No. We reverence to the point of being in terror. Okay? Some of you are like, what are you talking about, man? Anyways, Hebrews 12. 12. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You know, some people just don't want to be healed. They're not letting God heal them. He comes, the healing power comes, and they would rather be sick. Because they get more mercy that way. Oh, my rheumatism's acting up. Would you get the door for me? No! Accept your healing and open the door yourself. Glory be to God. See, that's just not politically correct, is it? Let it be healed. Ah, hallelujah. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Did you read that? Fail of the grace of God. I didn't think there was any failing of the grace of God. Then why did He put it in this Bible? Why? Follow peace with all men. And holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. What does this sound like to you? What should this do to you? This should put you in an extreme reverential fear of how you're going to live the rest of today. This is why we haven't had so much, we've had such a free, floating salvation message that requires nothing that nobody fears anymore. But when you pull out these scriptures and it's telling you exactly what you need to do and you need to live holy, or you're not going to see the Lord, or you could fail the grace of God, what does that type of message do? It doesn't make you legalistic. It should make you sit up straight and walk a straight and narrow road. Because you don't want to irritate the one who has all power. People talk about the power of the devil. He doesn't have all power. This is why we shouldn't be afraid of him. Don't fear the devil. Fear God, who has all power. Let's fear God to the extreme so that we do whatever he says, whenever he says it, and he will turn up the power. With that big old power turning, rotating knob, and it goes to your degree of extreme reverential fear. So, that could be like a carrot stick in front of you. You want to grab onto this fear of the Lord? This is what they always talked about, especially in the Old Testament and yet in the New Testament. Do you fear the Lord? Does your house fear the Lord? This was the common thing, which means, do you do what he says so that you don't get cast out? Right? Fear of the Lord. This is the carrot stick before you. Do you want to fear the Lord so that he can turn the power up? Because he won't turn it up unless you are walking in the right type of fear. I'm not going to send you up a tall ladder if I know you're just going to get up there and goof around. Because I'm your dad and I don't want you to fall down. Right? So I'm going to keep you on low-level power, low-level grace, low-level everything. Well, that's not what we want in this church. What we want in this church is high-level power. The electric power of God pulsating in the building so it looks like it's breathing. People getting saved and being drawn because they can't stay away and they repent when they fall through the door. Why? Because they see that they're in sin and they've got to get right with this holy God who's somehow here. Yes. And if this is what we want, we're going to have to fear him. This is the key. I'm going to keep beating on this until we get it. We got to fear him so that his power can increase. Hallelujah. And then he'll be able to send us up the ladder a little higher, a little higher. And that's why I'm excited. We're going up the ladder a little higher. This rail is the fear rail. It's like the third rail. Fear it. You know what the third rail is, right? On electric trains and stuff. That's the one you don't touch. Touch not the glory. No flesh shall glory in my presence. Should we be afraid of that? Should we be afraid of touching the glory? Let's say we got the Spirit of God in heavy manifestation. And I'm going to stand up and take the credit for it. I'm not going to. Because I am fearing God. Why? Because it says, no man shall glory, no flesh shall glory in my presence. That would be a fleshly display, wouldn't it? That would be all right if there was no presence of God in manifestation. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They touched the third rail, my friend. And we'll look at that a little bit later. And then what happened? Fear came on all the church and all around about. And it says nobody would even come to their church anymore because they were scared of them. But they respected them. Well, that seems like the opposite of church growth to me. We don't want any of that in our church. No, that's what you want in your church. We should call ourselves the church of the third rail. Don't touch it. Don't put your tongue on that. Yay! Hallelujah! All right, Hebrews 12. This is a good one. Hebrews 10, sorry. Hebrews 10, Jesus is Lord. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:29. Glory. Hebrews 10:29. Of how much sorer punishment. You gotta love these scriptures. I just got one after another. Of how much sorer punishment. Now let me ask you a question. Olivia, is it sorer when I spank you really hard 10 times or just once lightly? Which is sorer? It's like I refuse to answer that question on the grounds that it may incriminate me. No. What's the answer? If you get spanked hard 10 times, it's much sorer. You know the sorer spots on your body that you get spanked? No, why do they pick the back of the hand? Ow! It hurts right there. Slap me on the front of the hand. I can take quite a bit of that. And on the back of the hand, ow. Sorer. We know what sorer means, right? It hurts more. Oh, yeah. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Who is this talking about?
Well, this must be talking about somebody who hadn't received Christ.
No, his people. His people trotting underfoot the blood of the covenant despite the spirit of grace. How much sorer is that? Remember what Jesus said about Judas? It would have been better if he wasn't born. Right? It would have been better if he wasn't born than to be born and live with Jesus and see all this stuff and hang out with him and all this and then reject him and be the one to tell on him How much sorer, right? So how much sorer is it to fall from a 3-story building than it is to fall off your chair? How much sorer? It's much sorer, right? This is cautionary words, cautionary words. It's not to condemn, it's to caution. We're climbing up a mountain. The power is increasing. Things are happening. People are getting healed. People are getting saved. And they're looking at you for direction. You better give them the right directions. How much sore punishment? We talk about teachers. Be not many teachers because you are what? Held more accountable. Well, wouldn't it be better than to be not be a teacher? No. You're missing the point. It just means you better fly right, fly straight. Because we're dealing with a holy God. And that's what our next, let's see, it says, and again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What are the hands of God? They're the things that do things. You do things with your hands. You fix things with your hands. He lays hands on the sick and they recover. When you're with the hands of God, it should be a fearful thing. Do it with intrepidation. Make sure you're living right. Make sure you're walking right. Make sure you're in the blood in fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Make sure all of your ducks are in a row. And then proceed with caution. Intrepidation and terror of the things of God. Why? Can't I just flippantly lay hands on any man suddenly? Well, I think the Bible says don't lay hands on any man suddenly. Why? All of these things are because we can come to a greater level of understanding of the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of God is the greatest thing you can have anything to do with. Makes Niagara Falls look like a joke. A squirt gun. This is the power of God. He created the heaven and the earth. We say this. Do we really believe it? This Almighty, He created you. How fearfully and wonderfully made. How fearfully made. Glory to God forever. Did I finish that? Yeah, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. 1 Peter 4:17. Hallelujah! Glory be to God forever. And as God lifts you up and brings you to a place of authority and responsibility in the body of Christ, fly right, stay straight, stay holy, do what's right, stay on your knees, make sure you're doing what's right. And He'll continue to increase your power and your responsibility. And even your notoriety will increase, says the Lord. Your notoriety will increase, but with that comes responsibility. So fear. Stay in fear. Fear of the Lord. Fear the Lord more than anything. Fear the Lord more than snakes. What do you fear? I was looking this up. I just remembered it. The word fear in the Greek is the word phobia. It's where we get our word phobia from. That's not the Greek word, but it's where we get our word phobia from. What's a phobia? Usually it's something that paralyzes. If you're afraid of heights, you get up the ladder a certain mountain, you wouldn't be able to move. You'd be paralyzed with fear, right? Afraid of dogs, you see a dog, you act differently, you're weird. I got to go get in the car now and lock the door because you saw a dog, right? It's a phobia. It's that type of fear that's so, it's just palatable. It's right there all the time. Somebody just mention or go up, come up to you and go, roof! And you're like, oh! Right? This is the terror of the Lord that we're going to walk in. Why? Because He wants to increase His power on you. Yes, on you! So people are healed on your shadow. You should just walk around with a flashlight. So you always have a shadow. Okay. Glory be to God. Stay with me here, if you can. Glory be to God. 1 Peter 4:17. Yay, hallelujah. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? I want you to understand, okay, I'm not trying to just create a fear of God so you stay away. That's completely different, okay? And that's the tendency with this type of message is, oh, well, I don't want anything to do with that. No. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. It's the goodness of God that becomes severe as you walk in more and more goodness. Okay? But the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, where shall the end be? Here's another verse of scripture that says it's got to begin with us. This fear has to begin with us. And then what shall the end be? Judgment begins here. Judgment's okay if you're doing what's right. What you don't want is God coming to Maynard and saying, why didn't you start the healing ministry? Now I have to judge you. Right? What you want Him to say is, good job. That's a judgment. Do you understand? We think judgment, we think in the negative, and we shouldn't. Judgment is good at times. Judgment, here is $500,000. That's your judgment. There's somebody on the other side of a judgment, you understand? There's a good side and a bad side. Let's be on the good side, the goodness and the severity of God. Let's be on the good side of judgment. This is exciting. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Right? That's good. And then it goes out to everywhere else. All right, that's basically what I wanted to get out of that scripture. It's got to begin here. Ha, 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 ha. All right. Psalms. Yay, Jesus is Lord. Psalms 89 and 7. Glory be to God forever and ever and ever and ever. Psalms. Hallelujah. Psalms 89 and verse 7. You should mark this in your Bible. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of his saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. God is to be greatly feared where? In the assembly of his saints. And to be in reverence of all them that are about him. Why? They had this really good in the Old Testament. Especially when God in his pillar and his cloud was in manifestation. You didn't mess around in the assembly of the saints. If you did, judgment was quick. Right? And then they were either cast out or slain or something. Time after time. This is where we are to fear God. Do you get that? I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. God is greatly to be feared. Greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Why isn't he in so many churches? Because he's not even there. How can you say that? I just did. That's why they don't have to fear him, because he's barely even there. But if we're going to pursue him to the point where he shows up and does whatever he wants to do, greatly to be feared. Why? Because he's powerful. He's a consuming fire. All right. And to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. So even in close proximity, this is what we're talking about. The power of God in such manifestation, in and among us, and around us. So even the people that are around him hold him in reverence. The fear of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 9:10. We're getting there. Hallelujah. Didn't know if I'd get down this far. Glory be to God forever. I thought I was going to have to beat up on those first couple of scriptures until people's eyes were bleeding or something. Proverbs 9:10. But I believe you're getting this. I believe it. Hallelujah. And as the fear of the Lord increases among us, so will the power. So will the goodness. Right? It's a key. Just like the Holy Ghost and the blood are keys. This is another key. It's like one of those bug magnets. And I know this is a bad illustration, but it's a bug magnet. They smell it. What are they, like CO2 or something? They smell it. It emits CO2 in the... What is it? Ozone? I don't know what it is. But it's some kind of gas or something, and then the mosquitoes smell it. And then they go into this bag or something, and it kills them, all right? It's really a bad illustration. But it's, let the Holy Ghost smells fear. You ever heard of that? Dog smells fear. All of a sudden, how do they react? They react differently, don't they? If you fear around a dog, and the dog turns into a different beast. Hair raises up on the back, his tail poofs out, and he's arr. Because he smells fear, right? The Holy Ghost smells fear. And it draws him to you. And it makes him happy. Unlike the dog, it makes him happy. Here's a man who fears me. How many times does the Old Testament say that? He's a man who fears me and will do whatever I say. He fears me. That's a respect thing. Fear God. He respects it, and he'll be like a magnet to you. He'll hang around you. He'll turn up the power. Why? Because he knows that you will obey him and do whatever he says. You're not going to fool around when you're way high up on the ladder. You're going to walk circumspectly in terror of the Lord. Hallelujah. We getting this? Did I read that? No. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. The beginning. We're beginning, people. Judgment must begin at the house of God. We're at the beginning. These things are beginning to happen. And thus says the Lord, when the Spirit of God begins to show up and manifest on you, the fear will increase and you will be able to step forth in that fear unto other people. That fear is transmittable, and you'll be able to go with it where you go. And soon people will come in and know the fear and the presence of the living God. Hallelujah! Yay! The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the beginning, Rich. We're beginning. Hee-haw! I'm excited about it. Things are beginning. Oh, yeah, glory be. I want to run around the room right now. Acts 9:31. I realize I'm using a lot of scripture, but I want you to see that this is a true Bible concept, not just something I'm making up. This is the beginning. This is where we step into the power of God. Is that fear, that reverential fear. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Acts 9:31. Hallelujah. Acts 9 and verse 31. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. They that walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they go hand in hand. And that's what I've been saying this morning. The comfort and power of the Holy Ghost, He's the comforter, walks hand in hand with the fear of the Lord. And then there was a multiplication. I hope to get into that more next week. The multiplying factor of the fear of the Lord. But they were walking in what? They were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And then there was a multiplication that began to happen. See? All right. Isaiah 2:11. Yes, amen. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 11. This is a really exciting topic. I don't know if you're getting as blessed as I am up here, but my face is all numb. Glory be to God forever. Isaiah 2 and verse 11. The lofty looks of a man shall be humbled, and haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. That's the wrong scripture, isn't it? But that was a really good one. That was one I had. I just put the wrong reference up there. I know where the other one is, though. Let me just read it from up there. Here it is. It's 11:2. See how I switched those? Isaiah 11:2. I'm sorry. You there? And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. There's only one thing that he says twice in these verses. Look at verse 3. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is going to come on him, the Spirit of wisdom and counsel and might. And he's going to make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. They come together. When the power comes, the fear of the Lord comes. And it's the same word. Actually, where it says spirit of knowledge, you look it up in the Greek, it says spirit of the fear of the Lord. It's the ruach. It's the breathing upon. It makes you alive in the fear of the Lord. Well, why would you want to be afraid of God? Because there's life in fearing God. When you fear God, you're more alive. When you fear God, there's more of the blessing. Yes, there's the severity. But you're fearing Him, and there's more blessing in fearing Him than there is in just whatever. Eh, God, big God, whatever. No. Power of God. That's where you want to be, in the ripe power of the living God. But don't go there without fear. Well, you won't get there without fear, and that's why we're preaching on it. Fear Him. He shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. That's what we're believing for. Everybody pray this with me right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you for quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Quicken me in your holy fear. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. This is what we're going for, people. We want to be a scary church. Church with the Holy Ghost in it. A church with the blood in it. A church who fears God. God can't resist that, people. He can't resist it. When He smells the fear on you, the terror on you, because you worship Him so much that you're scared. Paul, weakness and trembling and in much fear, much fear. God just shows up. Hallelujah. Malachi 3:16. We're almost done. So just hold with me a little bit longer. It's important that we get these things across. Hallelujah. Malachi is right at the end of the Old Testament. Just flip back a few pages. Malachi 3:16. Hallelujah. And they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. What did He hear? He heard those who feared Him speaking. Do we want God hearing us? Actively listening to you. What draws Him? It's that fear. They spoke often one to another about Him. What? In the fear of the Lord. Talking about His presence. Talking about His power. Talking about His ability to do things. He hearkens to it. He pays attention to things like this. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. All right. I think I'm going to end with this one. Pretty sure. But I'm not absolutely positive. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. And this will lead into, I hope, what we can get into next week. I hope you're getting something out of this. Glory be to God. Because I am believing that this fear, and I realize it's one of those things that's hard to grab on with your head. How am I supposed to serve God and fear Him at the same time? Right? And how does that make me want to serve Him more? It's something that's really hard to grab on with your head. It's a spiritual thing. Right? Spiritual. Glory be to God forever. And we're getting this. Words go into your spirit and they cause a change on the inside of you. Acts chapter 5 and verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. What are we talking about? We're talking about Ananias and Sapphira. Power of God was present, manifesting their services in a big way, and they decided to lie to the Holy Ghost. They touched the third rail. They were trying to touch the glory. And when they touched the glory, it killed them. That doesn't happen in a lot of churches. Why? Because there's no glory in there to touch. But we're pulling and believing for God's glory to be manifest. Well, we got to know it's the third rail. You don't touch it. That's fearing God. Well, they didn't fear God and it killed them. And great fear, verse 11, came upon all the church. and upon as many as heard these things. We'll see that over and over again. The children of Israel came into a place and they heard something, and then the enemies feared. The fear came on them. Do you see that? Fear came on them. Well, if it's something that come on you, it must be a something. Right? We just read where Jesus, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, what? Came on him and made him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. So I'm believing for the spirit to come on us as a body. And it will not only affect us, it'll affect all of those who hear about us. Right? Don't mess with them. Power of God's there. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we take this in an opposite sense, like in other African cultures and stuff, they have a witch doctor. Nobody says anything about the witch doctor. They talk about him in hushed tones. And you certainly don't go and throw rocks at his house. Why? Because you are afraid of him and his power to hex you. This is an opposite of what we're talking about. That should be the way it is with the power of God. It was the way it was with Moses until they got cocky and people started saying, you're just Moses. Why do you have authority over us? And he said, please don't do that. He would beg with them, please, if you start cursing me, if you start going against me, it's going to be bad for you. Why? Because he was arrogant? No, because he knew his relationship with God, and God, it rose the hair up on the back of God's neck. But they were slain because they rebuked Moses. It should be the same way with us. People were scared to come around that church because of the power of the Lord there. And they wouldn't say anything bad about them because they were afraid of God. Not you, but God on you. We see in the spirit of fear. It goes along with the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Spirit of fear. And it's a key to revival, I'm telling you. It's a key. Hallelujah. Verse 11, great fear came upon all the church. Where did it start first?